You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good Monday, everybody. It's the Roto Experts, Jake Seely, Scott Engel. A ton to get into. At least the Browns gave us plenty to talk about today, that's for sure. We got to talk about the trades. We got to talk about baseball signings that are finally happening. Most everybody's going to have a team, it looks like. Scott, so how'd you spend your weekend besides enjoying your NASCAR?
Let's see. Obviously, I did watch the NASCAR. Kevin Harvick won for the third time in a row, three times in a row. First time in his career, Stewart Haas Racing, finishing all four drivers in the top 10 for the first time. Did some baseball studying and finally caught Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Took you that long to see this? So you saw it?
Well,
on DVD,
I was waiting till it, you know, it came out for rental, and it finally did.
And your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. It was a very enjoyable movie. It's it's fun as well. It's entertaining.
Yeah, I thought it was actually pretty darn good. You know, it was more entertaining than
what?
Walking Dead.
Oh, you liked it last night, huh?
No. I was saying Thor was more entertaining. Walking Dead last night was terrible.
I don't think so.
Nothing happened at all.
It's one of those bridge episodes, though. You know,
every single episode from episode 3 to episode 8 of every season is a bridge episode.
Yeah, you got to have some patience there. There was some good stuff last night.
Oh, you're on the outlier, Scott. I've seen reviews all over the website, everybody talking about how, like, websites talking about how terrible last night's episode is.
All right. Well, I don't share their opinion.
I know. You're, like, the only one left. You're just happy no matter what they do.
I'm not a sheep. I don't follow what everybody else does. I have opinions.
It could be 59 minutes of him just sitting there sweating and crying, and you'd be like, good episode. Good filler episode.
No. I don't think so. I'm not going to take everything they feed me. It's just like, you know, I it's been a while since I've seen a bad episode. I'm not saying there hasn't ever been a bad episode.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, speaking of previously former bad teams that probably aren't going to be as bad this year, Cleveland Browns gave us plenty to talk about, Scott, because they were busy. They were very busy over the weekend. They started trading with Jarvis Landry. And they stopped there. It was just nonstop until you went to bed on Friday night of sending trades everywhere. Demarius Randall's involved. They sent away Shelton to the Patriots. But the big news for us, for fantasy, for the skill position was they trade for Jarvis Landry, and then they continue to follow that up with trade for Tyrod Taylor as they send DeShone Kizer off to the Packers. So let's talk about Landry first, guy. I mean, the obvious thing here is we're not kidding anybody when we say Jarvis Landry's value is going to go down. But what, in your opinion, how much? And I know this depends a lot on their quarterback and who they draft, but it's, for all intents and purposes, seems to me Tyrod Taylor is going to be the quarterback in 2018. Whoever they draft is going to sit and wait behind Tyrod Taylor.
Do we know that his value is going to go down? This might be the best quarterback that he's actually played with so far. You know, he always played with his Ryan Tannehill and Jay Cutler at best. You know, Tyrod Taylor's equal to maybe who they are. Tyrod Taylor's already taken his team to the playoffs. Well, so is Ryan Tannehill.
I'm talking about fantasy. Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Talking about fantasy, you know, the guy runs a lot, but you know, he's never had a receiver the quality of Landry. I don't see why he can't get him the ball.
He had Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins was always hurt, though. Sammy Watkins is more of a downfield receiver, though. You know, Jarvis Landry, it seems like no matter who plays at quarterback, that he seems to get his numbers. He did it with the off-the-trash heap Jay Cutler this past season.
And I'd rather, for fantasy purposes or for production of Jarvis Landry, I'd rather take Jay Cutler. Tyrod Taylor's never thrown for over 3,000 yards.
Yeah, but, you know, Jarvis Landry had a terrific Jarvis Landry had a terrific year last year without even reaching 1,000 yards. It's not about the yardage. You know, you're talking in PPR formats. I am. I don't know. You prefer standard, so maybe that's the direction you're going.
No, it goes to both. Because Tyrod Taylor.
I fail to see why the value can go down. You know, this guy's played with one mediocre quarterback, one bad quarterback, and now I think he plays with a respectable quarterback. You know, why don't you take advantage of Jarvis Landry's skill set? He can still catch the ball 100 times and score 6 to 8 times this year.
Not with Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's high is 270 completions. You want to talk about PPR, where is he going to get his PPR from?
He's going to have to throw. Yeah, but that was with the Buffalo Bills. Look at the receivers that he had.
Again, Sammy Watkins. He had Marquise Goodwin who
Sammy
left
Watkins was
terrific.
Hurt all the time. Marquise Goodwin was no good when he played
because
with
he was
the
playing
Bills.
With Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's not a passing quarterback.
Yeah, but it's different. He's never had a possession receiver as good as Jarvis Landry.
He's had good, talented wide receivers. He's had a talented wide receiver core.
Sammy Watkins was hurt all the time. What can
you keep
Sammy Watkins?
That he was on the field enough.
Sammy Watkins had some good games, but he's not the type of receiver that Jarvis Landry is. Jarvis Landry's a possession guy. Sammy Watkins is not a possession guy.
If you can, that's fine, but he's had talent at the wide receiver position.
He's never had a receiver with this sort of skill set.
No, but he's had skilled wide receivers before. He's had plenty
he's
of
never
wide
had a outstanding possession wide receiver like
I,
Jarvis
I don't care
Landry.
If he ever has. My point, Scott, is he's had talented wide receivers and he's done little with them because he's not a passing quarterback. He's never going to complete 300 passes in the season. So that's my point is where are you going to get the receptions for Jarvis Landry, especially even in PPR, the value is going to go
let
down.
Let me look up Ryan Tannehill's completion. How many completions did Jay Cutler have last year?
I guarantee more than Tyrod Taylor.
I'm going to look it up. You know, that's what Google is my friend.
Do you want to do a bet, or you don't like betting?
I already told you I don't like betting. If you're right, I'll say you're right, right?
Well, I am right. I don't even have to look. I know that I'm going to be right. I'm waiting.
429 attempts. Wow. But only 266 completions, though.
But it's more.
Yeah, but this is... But it's different with Landry now because Tyrod Taylor has never completed a lot of passes because he's never had a dependable possession wide receiver.
No,
that's my point.
That's where I disagree. He's never completed passes because that's not who he is.
He's never had a receiving crew like he's going to have in Cleveland. And Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry?
Okay, well then so let's look at it that way. That even if he increases his completions for 250 to 280, those extra 30 aren't all going to Jarvis Landry for what you're just arguing.
How many completions did Tyrod Taylor have last year?
I told you, would I have to go back now?
Yeah.
Go back and find out.
I already forgot.
263.
That's the same amount as Jay Cutler.
Okay, and so?
So if Cutler can throw him the ball 100 times, why can't Tyrod Taylor do it? The same amount of completions.
Because Jay Cutler did it in less games.
It's still about the same amount of completions, though.
No, it's less games. It's not the same amount of completions.
One had 263, the other had 266. What's the big difference?
A game and a half.
Who had a game
That's
and a half and who didn't?
Jay Cutler didn't. Jay Cutler only played like 13 and a half games last year.
Yeah, and Landry still got 100 receptions.
Again, you're making my argument, playing with Jay Cutler, not with Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor needed an extra game and a half just to almost get to Jay Cutler. Anyway, that's my point.
Taylor plays a full 16-game season, it's still the same amount of completions as Cutler had in 14, and at 14, right?
It still works out to
the same thing.
It works out to the same thing, but it doesn't work out to the same thing for what we're talking about because somebody's playing those other 2.5 games for the Bills and the Patriots or the Dolphins, whoever you want to say. You can't just say he gets 16 and the other person only got 13.5, so it should be equal.
I can't see a major drop-off.
I can. Because, again, you're talking about 16 versus 16 games, and now you just brought in the second part of it where it's one thing if it was
Tyrod Taylor has never played with a guy like this. This could change his whole passing outlook.
It could. It's not going to. He's got Josh Gordon out there as well. I'm telling you why. Because he's not a passing quarterback. He's not
because he didn't have guys that could move the chains for him in Buffalo.
No, because that's not who he is, Scott. Tyrod Taylor is not a passing quarterback. He's never
Taylor, you also have to look at his supporting cast in Buffalo. None of those guys were ever dependable. He never had a dependable wide receiver his entire career in Buffalo.
He had Sammy Watkins and killed him his entire career when he was on
Sammy Watkins was not dependable. He's a big play, boom or bust guy. We know that.
No. Sammy Watkins is better than that.
Oh, yeah? Why did Sammy Watkins disappear for extensive stretches this year with the Rams?
Because they didn't use him as their number one and use him in the right fashion.
He can't he's not a possession receiver.
He's
a post and fly route guy.
That's my point.
That's my point. He's never had a dependable possession wide receiver. This is a new dimension for him.
And I don't care about that, Scott. My point is Tyrod Taylor is not going to throw for 3,500 yards, let alone barely get to 3,000 again. He's not going to throw for 3,000
yards. I never said you were going to get high yardage from Landry. He didn't even hit 1,000 yards this year.
Okay, and he's not going to throw for 300 completions. And even if he throws for 280, you just mentioned part of it is he still has Josh Gordon in the mix. He still has David Njoku in the second season. He's not going to have 100 receptions going to Jarvis Landry.
I don't see why he can't catch 85 to 90 passes.
Well, that's a drop-off. I don't disagree with you there, but that's a drop-off for Jarvis Landry, and that's my entire point.
I don't know, but...
Yes,
I think Taylor's a better quarterback than people have given credit for.
I think that's
I feel like he
different.
Had nothing to work with in Buffalo.
I think that's obviously where we're different.
And now all of a sudden he's got receivers.
Yeah, and he's got a one-year ticket to be the starting quarterback until they move on to their next person. It's just a temporary Band-Aid holdover anyway.
You know, I guess 90 is a drop off. You're right, but maybe the way you're making it sounds is like he's going to catch 75.
No. Did I ever say that? All I said was a drop off. Well, now you sound like the people on Twitter.
We didn't establish what the drop off was.
Now you sound like my Twitter troll, Scott. Oh, you said he's
you call me a troll now?
Yeah, of course I am. That likes The Walking Dead. all right, so...
Look, both of us are huge Star Wars fans. We'll meet there.
We'll meet there?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe you are bigger
than mine, though. Bigger than I am, though.
I think we're about the same. You just continue to overrate because I have stuff behind me for my backdrop.
Oh, please. I don't even own this Stormtrooper the size that you have. I don't think I own a Stormtrooper, period.
Yeah. And people enjoy the stuff that's behind me. Actually, the last 1, 2, 3... I'm looking right now, Scott. The last 15 to 20 things that I've... Actually,
all right.
30.
Could Jarvis Landry catch 94 passes?
I'd take the under.
By how many, though? Can he catch 94 passes?
I'll take the under. So
by how many?
I'd put 90 at the over-under.
All right. So you're splitting hairs on four. He caught 94 passes in 2016.
Okay.
So it doesn't look like he's going to be a whole lot different.
Well, that's when he was wide receiver 17 that year in standard, and then he was wide receiver 13 in PPR. Well, last year he was
standard.
Yeah,
except for
you, majority. That's still the majority.
No.
I gave you the numbers.
Only because the free sites like have so many leagues. The majority of people play PPR.
No,
we're
the majority,
serious about
Scott, the numbers. The numbers show this.
That's because you're taking into account like a million, like, you know, free leagues on Yahoo and ESPN that go dead.
So we're just supposed to ignore the casual person playing? We're not supposed to help them?
No. But most people play the game seriously, play PPR, and
I disagree.
Based on what? On free ESPN leagues?
Based on the questions I get on Twitter every single year, nonstop.
Most of my questions are PPR.
Well, good for you. We also have, you could ask our people who called into On Target all the time. Plenty of them. They're playing. Heck, a lot of them called in and said they still play in 10-team leagues, Scott. We still have to cater to the average
fan. I'm not saying they don't exist, but I would say most of the people who are really tuned into fantasy football, more of them play PPR than non-PPR.
No, see, that's the difference. Okay, so 10% of the population?
10%.
So, yeah, so 90% of 10% of the population. You're saying the majority of the people who are as into it as we are. Well, that's not the majority of the population. That's what I'm saying. So 90% of the 10% play only PPR.
I don't know if this has been an accurate poll, you know, ever taken on this, but, you know, I'm just going by what I see and who I talk to.
No, there doesn't need to be a poll. What I'm saying is all you have to do is look at the fact of what the leagues are active on the sites. As you said, the free sites, those count for something. We have to talk to the people that all sorts of people listen to.
Didn't ESPN move to default PPR this year?
And yet they still have more people playing standard. And the fact is, I even put a Twitter poll out there, Scott, and wouldn't you say that my Twitter followers are more slanted towards the heavier players?
Yeah.
Well, it came up 50-50. We actually did that on the show because I was arguing the same thing with Joe and Chris. Ended up being 50-50. And those are 50-50. Those are slanted towards...
I think a lot of people play standard and are not serious fantasy football players.
I disagree. I don't think you can say that at all.
Just about every important industry league is PPR.
Not the flex.
Yeah, because, you know, there are three different types of flex leagues, and you created that, and you like standard better.
No, I didn't create that for that. I created it with David Ganos, and he brought up a terrific point and said we have to cater to the people that are following us so they can learn. We need a PPR and a non-PPR.
I'm not saying they don't exist. I don't disagree with David. What I'm saying is I think more people who play fantasy football seriously play PPR.
But that doesn't make up the majority of people playing. That's my point. I'm not
thinking. Yeah, but then again, you know, you're talking about Yahoo and NFL.com leagues where people don't take it seriously, then the teams go dead.
No, they still take it seriously. They just don't take it seriously as the high stakes people. Or the
I'm not talking high stakes people.
Or the ones that play in 15 leagues.
I'm saying anybody who has like a somewhat serious interest in fantasy football more than play PPR than non-PPR.
Disagree. 100%.
I think you like standard better, so you kind of slant it the way you...
No, I have the numbers. We can't ignore the numbers. I have the numbers on my side, Scott.
What are the numbers?
I told you that there's still 65-70% of the leagues that were played last year were standard. And then when I polled people just to find out if the people who follow us, to your point, I think Joe or Chris made the exact same point you're making right now, is that the people who follow us and listen to us play PPR more, and I polled them, and it was actually a 50-50 split, so that's not true. If anything, it's right down the middle.
Well, I'd believe that more than the other skewed numbers of 70-30.
They're not skewed. I think they're skewed.
I think they're skewed because there's a lot of people that don't take fantasy football seriously.
Why are they only the standard people? Only standard people sign up and don't pay attention?
They just want to play in a league, you know, and be in the league and they don't care.
No, now you're saying the same thing that you're accusing me of. You're saying that everybody who doesn't pay attention to their league are only standard and not PPR people. There's no backup for that.
They're like default. Well, you can't prove your point either, though.
Yes, I can. I have the real numbers.
No, you have numbers based on public leagues and teams that go dead and people who like... You know, who are like
and
maybe
you
playing
can't
fantasy
prove,
football for the first time.
And you can't
time.
Prove who's going dead and who's not. The fact is, more
if you
leagues
take into,
are standard.
If you take into account public leagues on free sites, you're never going to get an accurate representation.
No, because that's the general public. You can't throw out the numbers just because you want to for your argument.
It makes sense, though.
No, it doesn't. Because you can't prove it. No, because there's no proof because I can say the same thing you're
saying. But your debate is skewed, though.
You're basing it on
free public leagues.
Which is who we're talking to, the general public. We're not talking to only people who pay money to play in the NFBC.
Those are people like draft sometimes and don't even manage their teams, or they've never played fantasy football
And who's
before.
Paying for leagues out there? Stupid people, unless they're playing in the high stakes thing. I'm not paying for a site. There's ESPN, Yahoo, and anything else that I can go out there at NFL.com to play for free. Nobody's paying for their site. The only people that are paying are in the high stakes.
No, that's not true. There are people who pay for CBS leagues that are not high stakes.
And
there are people that play in Yahoo and NFL.com premium leagues.
They don't pay for those anymore.
Yeah, they do.
No. Yahoo's got a full customization. You don't have to pay for anything over there anymore. It doesn't matter. We're moving on to baseball. Because we got to talk about baseball. I spent way too much time on that. There'll be another 4 months to argue about that. So Chick Arrieta finally has a team. It's funny, Scott. I put this on to talk about last week, and it was originally talked about the Padres. Now, it's not the Padres. He's getting, surprisingly to me, that he waited this long and is still getting $25 million per year. I thought you, one, first of all, think that was kind of a surprise of that. But the second part is he's going to the Phillies. I think at least we can agree here this is a ding on his value to go play half his games instead of the Bank Park.
Well, you know, Tony and I talked about the stats, though. It's in terms of runs scored, actually, last year, Chicago was higher, but Philadelphia, you allow more home runs, so I think that's a concern. And Jake Arrieta is obviously not what he was in 2015. The velocity's gone down from about 94.5 to like 92.1. That the Ks per nine have gone down to like 8.71 from 9.59 over that span. Last year, 353 RA. That's nice. 416 FIP, 411 xFIP. You know, I think this guy's probably going to strike out about 8 batters per game with about, you know, 4 ERA, which is not bad for your third fantasy starter. He's going in about the 11th round of draft, so I think it fits. But, you know, he's been declining each of the last 3 years, and but, you know, I still think he can be a solid fantasy starter. He's no longer a superstar.
Yeah, I actually, so there's a couple things here. Oh, one is, and this isn't this, you know, whatever come after you and Tony, but I hate the run scored in a ballpark because, and you know, this is like the pitchers who are pitching are going to affect that. The teams that play there are going to affect that. And the Cubs were really poor. The run scored for half their games at home and Wrigley weren't as good. The team, so I prefer the second part of it. Like, look, I like to look at the park factors, like on the percentage, which there's the stat corner where you can actually look at, like the percentage of hits. That are, because the percentage is going to be a much better representation of what's going on there. So a percentage of doubles, percentage of home runs, percentage of hits in general. It's funny that you say this. So one of the things is these ballparks are almost identical when it comes to singles and doubles, just reversed for lefties and righties. So it's actually a little bit better for lefties in Chicago, better for righties in Philly. But the discrepancy, as you mentioned, the home runs are a stark contrast, a huge, yes. I mean, we're talking, so a park factor, for everybody that doesn't know out there what I'm referring to, about 100 is even. Anything under 100 is favorable for a pitcher. Anything over 100 is favorable for a hitter. So the park factors for singles and doubles are just under 100, just over 100 for both parks. For home runs, it's 85 for lefties, so it's actually pretty tough to hit a home run out, according to the stats from last year, percentage-wise, for lefties in Chicago. That's surprising to me, even. 112 for righties, so pretty easy for righties. That's not even close.
You get a lot of those night games where the wind's blowing in, too.
See, exactly, and people forget about that. Philadelphia is 133 and 131.
Isn't it kind of a short porch in right field?
It's short everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just, that's the problem. But here's the thing I was going to say, Scott. So Michael Florio, the Fantasy Best Friends Forever on this very network, tweeted it out last night. And he tweeted out his first and second half numbers of Jake Arrieta. And he tweeted out his ERA, his left on base percentage, his strikeout percentage, well, like all the numbers. And all the numbers were almost identical, Scott. But the big difference was the ERA was way over 4 in the first half, and it was down at 3 in the second half. You know the only difference in that?
What?
He went from a 300 BABIP to about a 220 BABIP. Jake Arrieta was 100% luck change in the second half. I think he's more of a 4 ERA guy now. Especially.
Yeah, that's what I said, 4.
Yeah.
I predicted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that. So SP3, or are we talking even SP4 for your fantasy team now?
I think SP4 is like kind of pushing it down a little bit. I would say SP3. You're almost getting a strikeout in it. You're getting around a 4 ERA. You know, I'd be fine with that.
Okay.
If I started like DeGrom, Barrios, Arrieta, I'd be fine with it.
Okay. So you would it'd be nice if you could get him as your 4, but that's probably not going to happen. You probably need him as your 3.
Yeah. It'd be very nice to have him as a 4.
Well, here,
you
let
know,
me
that,
ask you.
That's if like you do something where you go really early, like heavily on pitching. Early, and then you go say Scherzer, Bumgarner, Barrios, and Arrieta.
I think I'd actually go with Arrieta before I go with Barrios.
I like the upside of Barrios better. Barrios.
I don't like his control. Barrios. I still don't like his control. Here's one for you, Scott. So I want to give you the toss-up here. Would you rather draft Samardzija or Arrieta?
I really liked Samardzija's peripherals last year.
Plus, he gets all those Ks.
Gets the strikeouts. He's in a better ballpark. I think I'd go Samardzija. Yeah.
I would, too. Arrieta's missed time the last
It's like Arrieta's like, you know, you have the Cy Young thing, like, looking in your face. But last year, like, well, Samardzija wasn't quite K, like, K per nine. Like, he had the better whip. He also had the higher ERA, though. He had a 4.40 ERA.
But that's reversed as well, too. So he has the 4.40 ERA with a 3.60 xFIP. Jake Arrieta was the opposite. He had a 3.53 ERA with a 4.11 xFIP.
It's close. It's close. You know, because you feel like Arrieta's falling off from 2 years ago.
Right.
But, like, the strikeouts per inning were, like, almost about the same. And the FIP, like you said, 3.61. But then again, you look at, like, Samardzija had a 67.5 on-base percentage last year. That was low.
Yeah.
I think I'd lean towards Samardzija.
As would I, but I think my entire point of
you're gonna pay,
that
here, here's the thing is, though,
well,
sorry.
Hold on a second.
Like,
I was just gonna, no,
aren't
just
you
going to
pay more for Arrieta, though? You're going to have to take him higher.
Exactly. Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, they're comparable. They should be in a discussion to argue which one you would want, and that's exactly my point. And, but the fact is, a lot of people are going to continue to take Arrieta probably two rounds earlier.
Yeah,
so
or more.
Throwing it out there. Yeah.
Because it's
so
the name. You know, he's got the name of the Cy Young. I mean, if you're going to move the goalposts to say that I get Samardzija later, it's no contest.
Right. 100%. So, yeah. Okay. Oh, Scott, you know what I forgot to ask you about, though? In football, I want to know if you think of anything, especially because you're on the outside as not a fan of this team. Did you catch the news about the Odell Beckham video that was going around?
What, you think I was living under a rock over the weekend?
Scott, starting with Friday afternoon, a hell of a lot of things happened between then and now. I live in New York City. Oh, that's true. All right, because I actually tweeted that out on Friday with all this stuff happening. I actually made the tweet and said, if anybody wants to put out some bad news for their team, now's the time. And funnily enough, somebody tweeted me and said, hey, did you happen to catch what happened with Odell Beckham? Like, nice timing right there. So,
if you're a football fan, how could you miss that?
Like I said, there's a lot going on. I forget you don't pay attention to the NCAA tournament either. There's a lot going on over the weekend. So, all right.
Oh, there
so
was.
What are your
there
thoughts?
A lot of Houston lost to Toronto. Kevin Harvick won. There was a lot of football news. There was a lot of baseball news. I didn't even pay attention to college basketball.
Yeah. So, then what are your thoughts?
It's certainly not a good look. And the girl came out and said, oh, he wasn't holding, you know, any sort of smoking device. He was holding a piece of pizza. And I watched the thing a few times over. And it's like I almost feel bad. It's like I like Odell Beckham Jr. It's like if you do a search on YouTube for Scott Engel and Odell Beckham Jr., he sat down and did a half hour at the interview with the guy. What a nice guy. What a good guy. And I only judge people by how they deal with me more than anything. You know, people have like torn into Odell for this and that. I so much enjoyed spending time with the guy. He's a genuinely nice guy. So I don't want anything negative to come out about him. But then I'm looking at that video, I'm like, oh, crap, Odell. That does not look like a slice of pizza in your hand.
And it doesn't look like something that should be involved
It's almost like I'm Odell's teacher or something like that. Like, oh, you're one of my favorite students here. And, you know, like, what are you doing to yourself? You know, it's not a good look. You know, he's done some questionable things in terms of how he can conduct himself publicly over the last, say, 2 years. And I'd like to think it's a thing of youth and maturity, but it's certainly not a good look. But at the same time, he may be the best wide receiver in the NFL, so he's still going to get paid.
He's just going to get paid, but should the Giants, I think, strongly consider trading him at this point?
No.
Yeah.
No, 100%. Why should the Giants trade him?
Because if you can get rid of him and you don't want to pay him, and you can get rid of the issues and get the return value.
Why would you trade the best wide receiver in the NFL?
I just told you the reasons. There was a floated rumor out there, which I thought was funny because it was very similar to the one that
You're Mr. Contrarian, though, Jake.
I'm not. You want to do everything the other way.
It's like every Giant fan wants to draft Saquon Barkley except for you.
Scott. I don't want to do that because I know what it takes to build a team and the drop of a running back. But the fact
you don't pass on a superstar like that when you get the opportunity.
Yes, you do.
You want to kick kickers out of fantasy football. You want to play standard. You want to go to one catcher. You don't want to draft Saquon Barkley. And then you want to trade Odell Beckham. It's like you're Mr. Contrarian.
No, I'm not. I'm making reasonable, pointed opinions because it's smart.
Well, it's still an opinion, though. And there are other smart opinions. It's like you can't easily replace a guy like that.
Nobody said you can, but I can tell you.
You
exactly
want the Giants to not draft Saquon Barkley and trade Odell Beckham?
Don't.
Who are they going to be their playmakers?
It doesn't make sense to draft Saquon Barkley at all.
Ask Kyle Campbell. No, it doesn't. Not one iota. You don't pass on a franchise player like that when you get the opportunity. You can draft an offensive lineman later in the draft, in the second round. No, you can't, because there's no offensive lineman in this draft.
And you know how many Cowboys
sign one in free agency? There are good ones out there.
You know how many, and they need like seven. You know how many Cowboys fans would immediately give up Ezekiel Elliott for Jalen Ramsey and Jordan Howard? All of them?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so the 7% who said no on Twitter, Corey Parson himself included, said yes. Because the fact is, the drop-off at running back is so small, and it's so much important to have everything else around it, it makes no sense to draft Saquon Barkley when you have... Now, if the Giants just had, you know, Eli Manning went down...
I don't care what the percentages say. I disagree with it.
And you can, and that's fine. Just like you said, that's your opinion, that's my opinion. It makes zero sense when you have the depth of running back that's at this draft class and you need offensive linemen.
There's nobody like Saquon Barkley out there in this draft class.
It's a generational talent. Oh, that's
the guy's been called Barry Sanders, compared to Barry Sanders.
And how many players have been called this before and not actually done it? And I'm a Saquon Barkley fan. I was saying that last year.
I don't think you pass on a guy who could be a generational player who could turn around the franchise.
If the offensive line sucks.
If they would have drafted Jalen Ramsey, the Cowboys, that would have one piece on defense, not going to transform the defense. Cowboy fans should know better because there's lots of holes on that defense. Lots of them. Not just one that Jalen Ramsey can transform.
And he would make a significant impact and change along still having Jordan Howard at running back, who only happened to be inside the top five for rushing for the past 2 years.
When you got a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, he can keep the defense off the field. He can change the game. That's what Le'Veon Bell does behind that offense. Jordan Howard's not Ezekiel Elliott.
Didn't say he was, but he could put up
He doesn't dominate games like Ezekiel Elliott can.
He could put up 95% of his numbers, but on that offense and behind that offensive line,
he's good. But you know, Ezekiel Elliott's great. He's a superstar. He's a franchise player.
And the Cowboys would be a better team with Jalen Ramsey and Jordan Howard than they would be with Ezekiel Elliott.
They'd still have other holes on defense, though.
And they were a playoff team with that. They could have done a lot more. They could have actually had somebody on the defense to build around.
I don't think they get to the playoffs 2 years ago without Ezekiel Elliott.
I do. If you put Jordan Howard and Jalen Ramsey on that team, absolutely.
No, because that defense had holes, and if they didn't have Elliott controlling the clock, it wouldn't have happened.
Because Jordan Howard could have done the same thing. Jordan Howard ran
for 1,300
yards. No, Jordan
Howard can't take over games.
On the Bears.
He can't take over. He cannot take over games like Ezekiel Elliott can.
He ran for 1,300 yards on the Bears.
I'm not saying he's not good, but there's a difference. It's just like some guys can take over games and change the whole game. And Saquon Barkley's one of those guys. Ezekiel Elliott is one of those guys. Jordan Howard is good, but he's not.
How many times has Ezekiel Elliott ran from over 150 yards?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I would say that.
You can't tell me by watching the games, though, that the guy doesn't heavily control the clock and the game flow when he's out there.
I'm just looking at last year just to pull it up, and the fact that that's exactly what Jordan Howard did against Baltimore and against Pittsburgh and against Cincinnati.
He puts up good numbers. I'm not saying he's not good, but he just can't take over a game like he can't take over a game like Ezekiel
Elliott. So 36 carries for 167 yards is not taking over a game?
Well, I'm saying, though, did they win that game?
Yeah, 27-24 at Baltimore. But
he doesn't do that consistently, though. You give him how many weeks?
He only has 138, 102, 125, 147, 118, 118, 119, 135.
And what was the Bears' record last year?
What is that? Scott, there's a two wildly different talented teams. I'm talking about constructing a team, not one player, and that's my point.
Yeah, but the Bears have a better defense than the Cowboys, and they didn't even make the playoffs.
Because they have nothing else on offense except for Jordan Howard. You know that's not that's apples and oranges.
That's true.
we were talking about Jake Arrieta anyway. Oh, we were talking about Odell Beckham.
No, you went to Odell Beckham, and it's like you have this ludicrous thing that you want to trade him now.
It's not ludicrous. I'm not even the one that wrote the article. I just agreed with it. The person who wrote the article, and this isn't going to happen.
You want
now
no superstars on your team. You want to get rid of Odell. You don't want to draft Barkley.
There'll be plenty of superstars because the suggestion, if you let me get to it, of the article, which I thought.
Oh my God! I'm looking at Jordan Howard's game log, and a lot of it's ugly too. I think you were cherry picking.
No, I said he could take over games. I never said he didn't have ugly games. We've already established that. Anyway,
Ezekiel Elliott is more consistent.
Can I get to the trade? I'm trying to get to the trade that you're saying is so ridiculous because it involves drafting Saquon Barkley anyway. The entire argument of the article was this is obviously not going to happen now because the Browns have already made their move, but it was call up the Browns and send Odell Beckham for the first and the fourth pick, and then you draft Saquon Barkley, your quarterback of the future, and Quentin Nelson, the offensive lineman, with your first three picks, and you move on from there. That was the point of the article.
I don't know if the Browns would give up that much, though.
I honestly think they might. I mean, look at what they gave up to get. I mean, they gave up a third and what else? Anyway, that was my entire point. That's something that probably was, like, so far-fetched. Anyway, that's, like you said, it's very hard for that kind of trade at that kind of level to get done. All I'm saying is if you could get away from the problems that come with Odell Beckham, and you could find replacements in the draft and free agency. Because now the Giants could actually have got, because it's not going to happen. This is all theory at this point anyway, Scott. But they could have gone out there and signed Allen Robinson or Sammy Watkins, drafted Saquon Barkley, drafted offensive lineman, and done all this and fixed all the holes. I was just saying, for the fact that it seems that they don't want to pay him anyway, it would kind of make sense. That's kind of more what it is anyway. This team doesn't seem like they want to give him that contract.
I view certain players as irreplaceable when they're superstars. And I think
Randy Moss wasn't irreplaceable.
I think Odell Beckham Jr., I don't think you can replace him. Allen Robinson's not as good as he is. I don't think there's anybody they can acquire that's as good. No, he's not. I don't think there's anybody that they can acquire.
You're underrating Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson's had one outstanding year.
Allen Robinson's been playing with Blake Bortles.
Well, Odell Beckham Jr. has been playing with an up and down and aging Eli Manning.
Randy Moss was expendable by multiple teams, and he's one of the best talents of the history of football.
I don't think you replace Odell Beckham Jr. Look what happened to the Vikings after they got rid of Randy Moss.
And look at what happened to that's not the only team that got rid of Randy Moss, though. There was teams that got rid of Randy Moss.
Well, by the time New England got rid of him, though, he was starting to be on the downturn.
Well, and we'll look at what happened with – what about Oakland? Oakland got rid of him, and we're better for it because he was starting to
fall apart. He wasn't in his prime anymore.
He didn't care because he was a clubhouse problem. He didn't care.
But when Odell Beckham Jr. is on the field, with the difference between Odell Beckham Jr. and Randy Moss is Randy Moss would jake it. He would never not give 100. There'd be times where he was not giving 100% effort. Have we ever accused Odell Beckham Jr. of not giving 100% effort? Maybe he's gotten into fights with Josh Norman and, you know, had temper fits. But, you know, I've never seen him in the same light as Randy Moss, where Randy Moss was taking plays off. I don't know if I've ever seen Odell Beckham Jr. do that.
Oh, that's fine. Is that the music? You know, did Chris say 30 seconds, or is that the music? Because I didn't hear that. Did you?
No, I didn't hear that. But you know, to me, certain players are irreplaceable superstars, and I think he's an irreplaceable superstar.
Oh, yeah, 20 seconds. Now I heard him.
Yeah,
no, I think he's replaceable. I think he is replaceable.
With
this
who?
Point, just for the issue.
Allen Robinson's not as talented as he is.
We could talk about it tomorrow. Mr. Roto Experts, Jake Seeley, Scott Engel. It's been an argumentative Monday.
Yeah, good way to start.
Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us. The Fantasy